Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is February 19th. We are starting Masoseh Sharim, Perek Aleph. We did the Hakdama last week. So, the famous first line of the Masoseh Sharim, it's well known by most people, is Yesod HaChassidus Mesharish HaAvoda HaTmima. The Masoseh Sharim starts off by telling us that the reason why a person is in this world is to get to the next world. That Olam Hazeh is a prozdor, if they Olam Haba. It is only a way to get to the next world. It is not that this world is the main reason for being here. And that the ikar reason why a person was created was lehis aneg al Hashem, was to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh, one is not connected to Hashem in a strong way. And Olam Hazeh is only a means to get to Olam Haba. The method in Olam Hazeh to get to Olam Haba is the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are the vehicle through which one gets to Olam Haba. Now, the Masoseh Sharim, after making that Hakdama, which we all know, but again, as we saw in the Hakdama last week, the fact that we know it is not a reason not to say it. His whole point is to say things that are obvious to everybody, but nobody thinks about them because they're so obvious. So we know this. But after saying that, he makes a strong point, and he says, I'll read you the Lashon, he says, when you look into it, tira ki ha-shlemus ha-amiti, that the true shlemus is, hu rak ha-dvekus bo yizbarach, is being dovuk in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Olam Haba is, we know, the makom of kibul schar. When we learned Derech Hashem, we talked about Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. Olam Haba is the makom of receiving the schar from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is that schar? What is that pleasure of Olam Haba? Whatever pleasure is a word that in our minds connotes a physical feeling, or even if it's an emotional feeling, but it's still something that we experience in our physical bodies. We don't understand the term pleasure in a we don't understand what it means to have a ruchnius pleasure, because we sense things physically. So even if it's a more sublime type of pleasure, you can have a more base type of pleasure, a candy bar, when you eat it, ice cream, when you eat it, is a base pleasure. That's a physical pleasure. But then there's also one could have a more subtle type of pleasure, an emotional pleasure, feels good emotionally, or even a satisfaction. I feel like I accomplished something. There's a satisfaction to it. I feel satisfied. Those are more sublime types of pleasures. Or you hear beautiful music, or see a beautiful painting, or a beautiful view. Those are or a good smell. Those are less base pleasures. Nevertheless, they're still physical. What I mean physical is they're still Olam Hazeh pleasures. It's very difficult to speak about what Olam Haba pleasures are because we don't know how to experience those things. But we know there is pleasure, meaning a ruchnius pleasure of Olam Haba. We know there is such a thing. What is that hana? That hana is to be davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no greater hana in the world, there's no greater hana than to be davuk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can say the words, we don't know what it means, but we know intellectually that it is true. But what he's coming to say is more than that. He's coming to say that shlemus, which is to become complete, we are born into this world chaser, we're lacking, and our job is to make ourselves shalem. Shlemus is dveikus. Dveikus is shalem. They're the same thing. Tov, shalem, davuk, all those words mean the same thing. I don't mean they translate the same way, but they all are the same idea, which is to be davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be shalom, and that is tov, and that is hana, and that's what we're striving for. The mitzvahs are not simply a method that if you do this, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you that. That's like you tell someone, if you clean your room, I'll give you an extra piece of cake. So the cleaning in the room and the piece of cake have nothing to do with each other. You clean your room, and so you did what your parents wanted, so you get a piece of cake. But the cake and the room have nothing to do with each other. It's just that the parent decided to put the two together in order to give an incentive to a person to clean their room. That's not the way mitzvahs work. The mitzvahs are the thing that brings a person to dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is a dveikus that is created through the mitzvah itself. When a person does the mitzvah, a person performs the chesed, a person does kibud av va'em, a person does shmir Shabbos. When a person does these things, they be'etzem, those are the methods of being davuk in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not b'mikra that Hashem says, okay, you did what I wanted, okay, here's a present. They be'etzem bring you to that. It's more like when you get in the plane and it flies you to New York. So it's not that, okay, you got on the plane, so now you're rewarded by being in New York. The plane took you to New York. The mitzvah takes you to dveikus. It is. It makes you shalem, and it takes you to dveikus. Therefore, one can experience a certain element of dveikus even in Olam Hazeh, even though it is far diminished from what it is in Olam Haba. And even though it's a far cry from what it feels like in Olam Haba, but one does attain a certain measure of dveikus by doing the mitzvahs, because he or she becomes shalem by doing the mitzvahs. So there is an actual dveikus that happens in this world. Now, it's very hard to experience and to really feel it, but when a person really reaches high levels of Kedusha and Tara, then they do feel something more than we feel, more than we normal people feel. When a person is holding on those madregas, they feel something. Now, in the age of Nevuah, which we don't have today, in the age of Nevuah, it would result in a Nevuah. What is a Nevuah? A Nevuah is a communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a dveikus. That's a shlemus. There's something there. And so one would cross a certain threshold and all of a sudden have that extra level of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we can't experience that today, but nevertheless, if a person really becomes a true Kadosh and Tar, then they are living on a different level and they are experiencing a certain me'ein of the Hana of Olam Haba. There is something there when a person is really performing the mitzvahs b'olam hazeh, and they become more of a davak and a shalem and a tahar, tov, all of that goes into one thing. Now, the Ramchal goes on to say that this is something which we all know, and but again, he has to state the obvious, that since olam hazeh is only a method to get to olam haba, therefore, by definition, Olam Hazeh is not perfect. We are not perfect. And by definition, Olam Hazeh is full of challenges. Because if there weren't any challenges, then there would be nothing to be rewarded for to do mitzvahs. There have to be challenges. And the world is full of them. And no matter what matzav a person is in, a person is in a nisayon. Everything is in a nisayon. The things that we call nisayonis are nisayonis. So what do we call nisayonis? We call nisayonis a person is chas v'shal, not feeling well, sick, a person is poor, a person is having other issues, emotional issues, or family issues, or whatever. We call those nisayonis, and they are nisayonis, no question about it. But even what we call brachas are also nisayonis. Wealth is a nisayon, health is a nisayon, a long life is a nisayon, emotional health is a nisayon, marriage is a nisayon, children is a nisayon, all these things are brachas, but they are nisayonis. Everything is a nisayon. And no matter where a person finds themselves in life, whether it is what we call a good life or what we call a bad life, no matter what, a person is in a matzav of nisayon. And a person's job is to earn Olam Haba by doing the mitzvahs under all circumstances. No matter what it is, to strive to be davuk in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the whole, that is the end all and be all. There is nothing else to discuss other than trying to become more davuk in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ramchal goes on to say, "Vim tamik oid beinyan tira ki ha'olam niver l'shimush ha'adam." The world was created to serve a person, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just put us here and then b'mikre there are nisyonos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the nisyonos. The world is perfectly set up to be the makam hanisayon, to be the makam of avaida, to reach olam haba. That is the way the world was set up. It's not a world that is haphazard. It's calibrated perfectly for each individual to strive for olam haba. Now he goes on to say that memela, if a person does mitzvahs, then the world around that person is elevated, is nis'ale. If a person chas v'shalom does averis, then the world is dragged down. The lashon he says is, it's important to know the lashon, he says, ki ma'adam nimshach achra ha'olam u'misrachik mibaroi, if he's pulled to the world and gets distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hinei u'miskalkel, the person is miskalkel, u'mikalkel olam ivoi, and the world itself is mikalkel with him. Vim hu shoylet ba'atzma, v'nidbak ba'baroi, u'mishtamash min ha'olam rak li'ayis l'siyu al'avaras baroi, he only uses the world as a way to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'mis'ale, v'ha'olam atzma mis'ale ima, the whole world is mis'ale with him. It is a great advantage. It is a great aliyah to the briyos kulam. Briyos amisham sheha adam asholim amakudash b'kedushas yisbarach. When they serve a person who is makudash, the whole world is elevated in that way. And Rav Shiva of Weimar's Harach explained to me once that I asked him the question: why should the world fluctuate depending on how a person behaves? The world is perfectly calibrated, so no matter how I behave, the world should be a constant, and either you use it for good or chas v'shalom for bad. So he explained to me that this Mesil Hashem says over here, that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to serve us, therefore it has to be what we want it to be. If we want the world to be a fertile ground for growth, then the world becomes a fertile ground for growth. If chas v'shalom we want the world to be a place that promotes tumah, then the world becomes a place that promotes tumah. The world is malleable. We choose how to shape the world, how to shape olam hazeh, and it follows our lead. So therefore, when we say habalatar mitar noisai, the Messiah noisai, habalatar Messiah noisai, those if someone who comes to mitar, they help him from upstairs. It's not just that one gets help from upstairs. The world itself reconfigures itself in a way that makes a person more apt to grow. And if a person is metama, wants to be metama, chas v'shalom, then the world itself reconfigures itself in that way. And the nisyonos are tailored to where a person wants to go. The ratzon of a person tailors those nisyonos. I think about this a lot when I'm in a matziv where we're doing mitzvahs in a place that's unusual or in a situation that's unusual. You know, when we live life in our own homes and our own communities, our own shuls and batei midrashos and our own schools, etc. So we're used to mitzvahs happening there, and the truth is, so is the physical world around us. Our homes are used to having mitzvahs done in them. That is the way our home is. Now, a person can be mitam of their home as well, chas v'shalom, but l'maisa, we hope that our homes are a place of kedusha v'tara, and we are using them in that way, and therefore the home itself is nis'ale. But I think about this when I'm in an airport, and I have to daven shachris, put on talis and tefillin, so I try to find an empty gate to say daven over there, and I think to myself, has anyone ever davened in this makom before? Maybe, yeah, maybe no. But this particular makom now is going to have a tefillah said in this makom. Now, I don't get too into that. L'maaseh is, okay, it is what it is. But the fact of the matter is, the bench that I'm sitting down on is nis'ala because I'm using it for tefillah. The place I'm standing is nis'ala because it's being used for tefillah. A guy can't make that happen. A yid can make that happen. We're ma'ila the places that we are involved in because we do mitzvahs in that place. And so there is reality to that, and the whole world is nis'ala when we use the world for aliyah, for dveikus, for giving kolos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Such a concept. I don't know where it's quoted from, but I've heard people say, like, if you break Shabbos and someone in Paris will smoke on Shabbos.
Like, so there is a concept like that. There's a concept like that, that the way that when a yid in Lakewood or in Eretz Yisrael is learning Torah, that can enable a yid somewhere in a far flung area to discover Yiddishkeit. Right? Mm-hmm. And also the other way around, because the whole world is nis'al and the whole world is brought down chas v'sham with averus. That is true. Mm-hmm. That is a true concept. Right. Yeah. He brings a lot of rayas to this, and that's what he does. He brings many examples for this. And how this really fits into the whole paradigm that the world is only here for us to reach Olam Haba. That's the whole reason for being here. So, but the Mesillas Yesharim goes on to say that the one can't make a mistake and think that this world is the tachlis for being created. Now we know that it isn't. But what would be the logical argument if you had to prove to somebody that the world, that we were not created for the tachlis of this world? So imagine that you're having a debate with somebody. What would be the raya against that person who's arguing, no, we were created only for this world? So the Ramchal writes, because if that were true, that would mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a pretty mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Olam HaZeh is not a perpetually happy place. There's a lot of sadness and pain in Olam HaZeh. We have moments of happiness and we have moments of pleasure, but most of the time in a person's life, a person experiences troubles and difficulty, whether they're minor difficulties and troubles, minor aches and pains and difficulties and things don't go my way and da da da, or whether they're chas v'shalom major ones. But most of life is not sitting back and, you know, and admiring the view and drinking lemonade and eating bonbons, right? Without gaining weight, right? That's not what most of life is. Most of life is a constant struggle. That's what most of life is. Even in our relatively peaceful, Baruch Hashem, and relatively pleasant life that we lead compared to our ancestors not too many years ago, still it's a difficult life. It's not easy to live Olam HaZeh. Number one. Number two, he writes, even if a person is zeicha to have a really wonderful, beautiful life, where there's almost no pain, it's completely pleasure, it's wonderful, it's short. It's 70, 80 years. That's it. And it's done. It's not that much time. It's not that much time. At your age, I remember being your age, I didn't think about that. At my age, you think about it. Think about it. Life, it's short. It just doesn't go on that long. And so the if that's what life is, it's a pretty meaningless, I mean, short, and it's not that much pleasure. It's not that much, there's just no time to have pleasure. Finally, he writes, if the tachlis of being created is Olam HaZeh, then why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu bother with an neshama? An neshama is something that is itself a very special, very beautiful creation. And it doesn't fit in Olam HaZeh. It doesn't enjoy Olam HaZeh, not the tanugim of Olam HaZeh anyway. It enjoys it when you do mitzvahs. But it doesn't enjoy a candy bar. It doesn't enjoy, unless the candy bar is being eaten as a mitzvah because of Enik Shabbos. And it doesn't enjoy the candy bar. So why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu create such a beautiful creation and put it in a person if the tachlis was Olam HaZeh? It doesn't make any sense. It's not logical for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do that. Why take something, as he writes, min ha'aliyonim, and put it in the tachtonim? It's not fair. It's cruel. It's cruel to take something that belongs in the aliyonim and put it down here where it's going to be like trapped in a cell and not be happy. Why do that? So it must be that the tachlis of Olam HaZeh is to become davuk in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and memela be nis'ala and to bring hana to the neshama that is in a person. In order for a person to reach dveikus, it's not sufficient to do only one mitzvah all the time. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a lot of mitzvahs because they all have their contribution to our reaching Shleimus. Now, clearly there are mitzvahs that we cannot perform either because of the time that we live in, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash L'mashal, so we can't do all the mitzvahs, or simply because of our limitations in life. There are certain mitzvahs that are only for Kaihanim. Mitzvahs are so, but the mitzvahs that are available to us are not by chance or just coincidental. They're available to us because those are the mitzvahs that are going to bring us to Shleimus. And it behooves a person to take advantage of as many mitzvahs as they can, because they all together bring a person to a dveikus, to dveikus and to Shleimus and to Toiv. To bring them all together, do as much of them as possible. And of course, one mitzvah could be done over and over and over and over again, but not to ignore other types of mitzvahs as well. That a person is looking for all the mitzvahs that they can get their hands on, because that would bring them to the shlemus that they're looking for. Just a quote again, to quote the Mishnah Sharim, "Va'amam roi loy shetia kol pniyasoi rak labaris barach." It's fitting that a person's entire focus should only be on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'shelo yeh lo shum tachlis acher. That there should be no other goal, b'chol ma'isa shiyasa, whatever he does, im kato and v'im gado, whether it's small or it's big, el liskare ve'lov yisborach, only to get close to him, v'lish bar kol ha'machitzois, ha'mafsikois ben olav en kono, to break down all the barriers that are obstructing between him and his Creator. And that would be all of the physicality of this world. He should break them down. A person should be drawn after him like a piece of iron to a magnet. A person should be drawn after a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And whatever a person sees that would bring the person closer to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, they should run after that. And whatever a person sees would bring them away from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, they should run away from it. And always seek to get close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That should be a person's constant focus in Olam Hazeh all the time. And then he goes on to end off with saying that to do this, we're going to go through the Madregas, as we mentioned last week, of Zehirus, Zrizus, Nikius, Precious, Tara, Chasidus, Anava, Yiraschet, Kedusha. For a person to have that focus and to be constantly looking to run to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and run after those things that bring them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and run away from those things that take them away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't do that unless you're thinking about these things, that many of them are obvious to us. That's what his whole point. If you just know them but don't think about them, then mamela, you don't run after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the world is full of things to run after besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way the world is. And it's extremely difficult to constantly maintain a focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Really, it is possible, although hard to imagine, an existence like that, where a person is at the same time able to be sociable with other people, and at the same time able to do all the mundane things that we do, eat and sleep and work and whatever it is, and yet always be striving for one purpose and one purpose only, which is Dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid is really what he's saying over here, to always be focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, the way the Chafetz Chaim writes it in the Mishnah Berurah, is that a person is not going to talk or stand or sit or behave the same way when they are in front of a king as they would when they're not in front of the king. So if I remember constantly in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it will inform how I behave, how I present myself, how I talk, how I speak. Everything is going to be different because I think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this is different than that. That's true too. But this is saying, if I'm focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then mamela, that's going to be my tafkid. I'm going to be running after HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. It is a very difficult thing to do. It is very difficult to be in this olam, in this world, and focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To sit in a room by oneself and close one's eyes and contemplate HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you don't fall asleep, that is something which is easier to do than to be constantly interacting with people, interacting with this world, with all the mundane parts of this world, and still be focused on this, on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a very hard thing to do. So, this way you'll remember it. You'll never forget this year. You'll never forget it. It's a very hard thing to do. It's a very hard thing to be able to focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we're involved in this world. So the concept of Shvi'is Hashem Negdei Samid is a tough thing to do. When this is a gewaldig story, when I first came here, this goes back already 10 years ago, when I first came here, it's okay, she'll be all right. When I first came here, so they had an installation, so here in the Beis Medrash. So the whole kollel was involved in setting up the Beis Medrash for the installation. So they were setting up the sound system. Then we had to test the sound system, make sure it was working properly. So they needed someone to talk into the mic, mm-hmm. and just talk for, you know, without talking to anybody, just talk for several minutes. So and we're men, like, who's gonna just, right? So Rabbi Gelbtach said, "I'll do it." So he took the mic. I was like, "What is he gonna do?" And he just sat there. He stood there and he went. Shivisi Hashem the Negdi Summit. Shivisi Hashem the Negdi Summit. Shivisi Hashem the Negdi Summit. Shivisi Hashem the. That's what he did. He just said it over and over and over and over again. Shivisi Hashem the Negdi Summit. Right? I was amazed by the, like, it wouldn't have occurred to me to do that, right? But to think about that, that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be thinking Shivisi Hashem. It's hard to do that when you're not saying the words over and over and over again. But that's what the Mishnah Shem is trying to tell us, that if you're not focused on it, then you're not going to do it. There's so many other things to get stuck in and focused on and think about. A person is not going to be thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even though these things are obvious to us, a person has to constantly remind themselves why they are here. Why am I here? I'm not here to get a good meal, to make money, to get a good night's sleep, to be healthy, to have a relationship. That's not why I'm here. All those things are meant to bring me to the purpose why I'm here, which is Dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One last mice I'll tell you is that my father once asked, he was talking to the Rosh Yeshiva in Philadelphia, to Rav Shmuel Baruch Haim and Zechar Baruch to Rebellia. And he said to them, like, you know, so I understand that I can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I'm doing mitzvahs, learning Torah, davening, but how am I ever serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu if I'm playing basketball? Like, how does that ever serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So they told him, no, it's not true. If you're doing it, and you're doing it you need to exercise, or you need a break, and you're doing it in order to be able to be a better Avid Hashem, then that also is Avodas Hashem, which is an obvious concept that we know of. But that's what they told him. So the within the next, I think it was 2 weeks later, where the Rebbeim used to live in Philadelphia was across the street from a schoolyard. A regular public schoolyard, a gravel school, no grass, just a gravel schoolyard with a basketball court. So when school was not in session, some of the Rebbeim's children, the boys, would go and play basketball across the street. So they were there. We don't know if the two stories are related. It's so coincidental that Reb Elia Zechar Baruch Hu came across the street, and he never ever did this. He asked for the basketball. And he took two shots. The boys ran in to get a camera. This goes back well before digital cameras. What are we holding now? This must go back 30 years. This Misa. They ran in to get a camera. The time they came out, he was done. So we always wondered if he did it to make the point, knowing that my father would find out about it, and to make the point that you can throw a basketball and still be an Avid Hashem, like, even while you're throwing the basketball. We don't know. We have no idea. It could be that one thing had nothing to the other, but that is the mindset that happened. It happened within like 2 weeks of each other.
So did Rav Elia say?
Yeah. It's Chanukah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there are people today, if you tell that Maisa too, they'll say, I'm not Mekabel, it ever happened. But it happened. It did happen. Maisa happened. And we don't know if the two Maisa have anything to do with each other, but it's very interesting that it took place. So. Any questions? Okay.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.